So I'm not doing this to myself. So who am I greeting if I'm not greeting myself? I'm speaking as though I'm speaking to the multitudes. Who am I speaking to then? As-salam, what? We didn't say that. We say that when we're talking to Muhammad, when we're speaking of Prophet Muhammad. Ayyuhan Nabiyyu, as-salamu alayka. Ya ayyuhan Nabiyyu. Peace be upon you, O Prophet. Huh? In the same prayer, we say, peace be upon you, O Prophet, as-salamu alayka. Ka. But when we finish our salat, we say, as-salamu alaykum, you the multitude. Who are we speaking to? All right people. As you turn to the right, you're greeting all right people. And they are not just right people, but they are people doing something. See, the right is the one decided that does. Most people are right-handed. Most of what has been achieved in the world is owing to the right hand, not to the left. The left hand is a slave. It just comes and helps the master, right? And it doesn't have as many skills as the master, so it's just a slave. It helps the master. So first you greet the world of good people who are doing something to make the world like it's supposed to be. And you greet them. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Peace be upon you and the mercy of God. And then you turn to the left. As-salam. And you don't give them an inferior greeting. You give them the greeting equal to the ones you gave the one on the right. Why? Because God wants them to have the same. He does not discriminate between the ignorant and the wise, the worker, and the misfortunate person, or the person that's unfortunate. Huh? So there's those that have been neglected. There are those that have been cheated out of their life. They're on the left. Then you turn to them. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. How can you greet people who are responsible for establishing the world and those who are working to keep it right and prosperous and wish them peace and God's mercy, and you have nothing? What the prayer is saying, that if you understand the language hidden in this prayer and hidden in the steps and movement of this prayer, then you understand the death and resurrection of society. And you should have the wisdom now to greet them peace and God's mercy. And you should also have the wisdom to wish the same for those who have not. And you should be obligated to help those who have not, because you wish the same for them. I'm getting to something very special. Now, also, this greeting, though said to the multitudes, is also said to me as an individual, because we don't greet each other, one sister, one brother. As-salamu alayka, my sister. As-salamu alayka, my brother. No, we greet one person as though they're the many. We say, as-salamu alaykum, my sister. As-salamu alaykum, my brother. As though kum, meaning you as the many. Meaning that we value one life like we value the life of all people. Why? Because if we lose respect for one life, we've lost the respect for all people. And God says your life and your death is as the life and death of one person. Speaking to all the people on this earth, he says your life and your death is as the life and death of one person. Meaning if you don't hold life sacred, you take one person and you treat him wrong, you take him out of humanity, you say he's not worthy of disrespect, eventually it's going to affect the whole of the people, and the whole people are going to be brought down. Allahu Akbar. Now, what is it also saying? It's responding to what's in the Gospel, New Testament. Jesus Christ went to the water where the fishermen were. And there he found those that he wanted for his leadership, those who would be his disciples. And he told them to come to him, that he would make them fishermen of men. And in the same longness, in the same kind of circumstances or context, we have fishermen in the Gospel of New Testament out fishing from a boat with nets. And they were throwing their nets to catch fish, and they weren't catching much because they were throwing their nets on the wrong side. So the master, Christ, the Christ, peace be on him, he said, throw your nets on the right side. And the Bible says, and when they did it, they pulled in much fish. Their nets became filled with fish. What is this telling us, especially you who help the leadership, you sisters and your brothers, who have your hearts and your minds devoted to making this community what it should be? You're devoted to the leadership direction. It is saying that you don't go first to the foolish and to the weak, to the unskilled, the uneducated. You go first to those who have skills, qualifications, resources, those that are working and can help. Muhammad the Prophet didn't surround himself with people who had no sense. He surrounded himself with the best of minds that were available in Arabia at that time. I'm telling you how to be successful. Sharing with you the guidance for success. Yes. But what is it also saying when he said, the black, the fish is symbolic, and we have to remember what Muhammad the Prophet taught us, prayers and peace be on him. He said, for every ayah of Quran, there is an obvious meaning, or an express meaning, and a meaning that is hidden, or a meaning that needs translation or interpretation in order for you to get it. And he said, and that's true also of myself, meaning whatever he said, there was an express meaning that everybody understood, it's easy, just readily understood. But in it was also a hidden message for those that Allah would bless with insight to get it. All right. So it's true too of the Bible, what God reveals. True of all of God's works. There are two readings for God's works. So when it's saying, go cast your nets on the right, it is saying, if you want to get what's on the left, because if there was fish on the left, but they weren't able to get it. If you want to get what's on the left, first get what's on the right. Now, if we get the people who are qualified to help us with this work in this life, won't we eventually get there?
Yeah.
Who can?
Yeah.
They'll see what we have done, and they'll come. You don't have to convert no man that sees what he wants. When he's looking at what he wants, he's going to come. You don't have to convert him. But it's true also on the non-obvious level. It's true on the genetic level. If you want to bring Islam into your life, don't follow rituals. Don't have an Islam that's only rituals, bowing and doing things and movements. Educate your mind so it goes into your blood. It becomes your life. And it's passed on to your children. And after a while, your genetic life have been renewed. You can take a people who are genetically given to behaving like ignorant folks. But if you keep educating that people, keep educating them, come through the right side, come through their conscious mind, that's what it meant. Come through their conscious mind, not through their unconscious mind, not through their soul, through their spirit, through their subconscious. Come through their conscious mind. And if you practice it and remain faithful to it, it will go into your seed. Your children will have it. Not all of them. Allah knows who to bless and who not to bless. But some of them will have it. It will go into them genetically. And after a few generations, they will have that tendency to love idleness, to love ignorance, to love too much play and not enough work. They will come out of that. Islam is our salvation, not only in our conscious life, but Islam is our salvation in our genetic life. We can redo our own genetic life by practicing Islam and passing it on to our children. Allahu Akbar. Thank you. Praise be to Allah, the one Lord of the heavens and earth. Yes. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the reason why Jews and some other people are the leaders and masters in their field and in their areas of interest and influence is because they have this science, and we don't. Now, isn't it a blessing and a miracle almost that God picked the son of Elijah Muhammad, a man from Georgia with only 3 years elementary education, picked a man from the out of Elijah Muhammad's loins to give this great knowledge to. Now, even when we were fascinated and living a life of infatuation and talking about supreme wisdom and thinking we had it, wasn't it a prophecy in disguise that is coming? Now we got it. So God's way is strange in this world. God's ways are strange in this world. So he influenced the people to talk about things that's not real at that time. But it's a sign that one day it's going to be real. God doesn't waste a thing. Praise be to Allah. Now, I'm going to quickly sum this up. Praise be to Allah. My mother, I used to wake up in the morning by her singing. She'd be in the kitchen working, and she'd be singing. And she'd sing different spirituals. Where Jesus' name was, she put her Savior. She'd say, my Savior. Sometimes she would say, Master Farah. She would put that in the song. I would hear it. Even the Nation of Islam made songs, and they changed it to fit the new mind and new thinking. My sister, she's not saying yes with her head, because she has recorded, she has saved one of these songs and recorded it very nicely, beautiful. Some of you might know Sister Omar. Sister Omar, could you stand, Salim Omar? Just stand so and face the audience so they know what I'm talking about. She was a jazz pianist, and she sang in a great group. Thank you. Before she became a Muslim. After she became a Muslim, she didn't want to do it unless it was helping Islam, unless it was good for us as Muslims. And she finally put the song on recording. I have it. I have a copy of it she gave to me. And it's beautiful. A marching song. The Muslim marching song. That's what we used to call it. But we had one or two. And she had put one in the song, made it very, very beautiful and nice, and made the language so that it fits this time. So what I wanted to say is that God says of our life, that a tree, a plant, pardon me, not a tree, a plant is a parable of our life, human life, or the life of humanity. And my mother, I would hear her singing in the kitchen early in the morning. And one day she was singing this song. She sang it more than once. Just like a tree that is planted by the water, I will not be moved. Now my mother was singing that from the depths of her soul, because her husband had been away for years, persecuted, in prison, and she was carrying all that burden of raising the family and keeping the house like it's supposed to be. Not easy, especially with temptations in the street, and you got teenage boys tempted by their peers. So it wasn't easy at all, it was hard. Girls who need husbands, and she worried about them, you know, and just the household duties, period, all that. So she would be singing from the depths of her heart. She was saying that expression was in that song. Some of you from church life, you know the whole song. She would say, just like a tree planted by the water, I will not be moved. And as I got older, I knew what she meant. As a little boy, I knew what my mother meant. Somebody said, what's your mother singing? What does she mean that she won't be moved? I said, my mother means that she ain't going to change the way she lives. That's what I knew she meant. She's not going to put down her principles. She's not going to sacrifice the rules that she lived by. She's going to stay right there firmly with it. That's what she was saying. To herself, singing to herself. She didn't know we were listening. I was upstairs in the bed listening. So anyway, when God says that a plant is a parable of our life that he created, he wants us to study that. God is not just, whatever God says is guidance. There's a message in it. We should study it. Not all of us, but those who say to any man, I don't know where you think your education is. Imam's education is in the Quran, in the Word of God, and in the way that it was demonstrated by Muhammad the Prophet. That's where your education is. Okay, so you shouldn't just read the plant that it's a parable and not give some thought to it and want to understand it. You should want to understand that. Now, let's look at the tree. A tree is a big plant, but it's what we're looking at is the same that we find in little plants, even in a blade of grass. Even in a blade of grass. When we look at a plant, we see its body and its branches. And beneath the body, roots anchored into the ground. The plant goes up. Sometimes it bears leaves, sometimes it doesn't. Like the grass, bears no leaves, no branches, no leaves. The grass. Just like God created the biological life, if you studied biology, which I did, I studied biology in school, you know that the well-developed form with all of its many, 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 many parts, the human body, began with one simple cell, that showed nothing impressive. When you look at it, there's nothing impressive to look at. It's just one little simple thing, like a little dot or something, or like a little oblong dot or something. One little simple thing. But out of that, that goes from that simple beginning and becomes this that we look at when we look at each other. Huh? Look at the beginning that God brings us from. And this happens for every individual. Every time a child is born, that's how it has to come. It has to come from that little, as a leaf-like clock mentioned in the Quran. But it's not a clock, really. That's a mistake that the translators made. It should say blood adhering, not a clock. Because in science now, clock means trouble. Clot in the blood is trouble. The blood is not clotting, it's adhering. is adhering. That's different than clotting. But a clot means holding together. So they are English-speaking people, and they don't know how to use the English for the Arabic well enough. They made a mistake when they said clotting. But it's blood adhering, blood holding together. And it holds together until it becomes a lump, a mass, a lump of something like a flesh, but not flesh with string. Flesh like membrane, or like the flesh inside your jaw, next to your tongue. Flesh like that. It becomes similar to that. Later developed into a flesh that strings and bones, all developing there. So step by step or stage by stage, life develops, beginning in semen, as Allah says, a milky like or opaque, whitish color substance, referring to sperm. And he causes it to mix with ovum of the female, and it gets blood. And then with the blood, it goes to another state and keeps on developing, to find we have this complete body, the human body that we have. Now, I'm simplifying it, I know. I'm not here to teach you biology or anything like that. I'm here to help you understand the Quran. And help you understand your life that you're supposed to have. So, like a plant. So, the blade of grass, now look what the Bible says. Whoa, time is flying here. Look what the Bible says about grass. What is the Son of Man but grass? That's in the Bible. What is the Son of Man but grass? Well, really, that's a down key statement. That's moaning the law of the establishment. The man that was once complete man, a standing life in his full development, have now been reduced as a parable from a tree, a mighty tree standing by the water, or standing upon his own strength, to nothing but a blade of grass. And what's the blade of grass for? The sheep, the cows, they consume it, huh? And to beautify the ground for those who build their houses or places around in the environment, huh? Can you associate that description I'm giving you of grass with poor people? Is that why they call us grassroots? The grassroots? And then they let us expose us to the hungry sheep from their religious orders, and they come in and eat the roots. See, sheep doesn't cut the grass. The grass can be cut as long as it's got roots. It comes back. Some plants, if you cut down too low, you can leave the roots, can't come back. Back at most plants, you cut them down. You cut a tree down, you leave a stump, it ain't coming back. You left more than roots. You left the roots and a stump, it ain't coming back. But grass, you can cut it down almost to the surface of dirt, of the dirt, comes back. Isn't that what do you call it, resilience or whatever it is that we have naturally? They say, we thought them niggas were things. We come back and there we are, looking pretty green, all flushed again. And these niggas happy. So how did they survive that? How can they be happy? We ain't got nothing but soul, and soul is powerful. Yeah, it'll hold you till better times come. That's that soul force. Yes, So like a tree. So we see a tree anchored into the ground. The bigger the tree, the stronger it is anchored in the ground. Now, the tree, like grass, wants to be upright. Don't want to be leaning. Don't want to be bent over. It want to be upright. Isn't that something, how a blade of grass holds itself upright? Upright. Straight up. Nothing but a blade of grass. Thin little blade of grass. Sticking up, sometimes two parts to it or something or more. Sticking up straight. Some grass go way up high. Some grass, very tall. And you know what the science says? They even say bamboo is grass. It's hard-coated and everything. They say it's grass. It belongs to the family of grass because it goes straight up as a single entity. Straight up, single entity. So the tree goes up and branches out. So when we look at a tree, we see its body, we see its branches or its arms, and we know that in below, under the surface of the earth, are its roots. And it has strong roots, tap roots going deep down, so that it can be pretty safe or pretty assured that it's going to have water. So it goes deep, so it can get water if there's no rain coming. It can get water. And its other branches go out like arms, like the limbs above. And they go out to stabilize the tree in the ground so the tree doesn't fall in any direction, but stays straight, erect, keeps its balance. So there is an attempt on the part of the tree, naturally. Tree is a Muslim. Oh, what are you talking about? I hate him when he goes on tripping like that. I don't like our imam tripping like that. Muhammad the prophet said the earth is a Muslim. He told us everything that God made is Muslim. If it's in the order that God put it in, it's Muslim. Only mean obeying the discipline that God created it for. That's what Muslim means. Obeying the discipline that God created it for. And not only do these things have Muslim nature, but most of the creatures also pray. It says every creature knows its mode of prayer. And in the word is used salat, not dua. Now if I pass by a tree and hear that tree saying, Allah, please have someone bring me some water, I'm dry. You'll find me on the funny farm for sure. I'll go turn myself in. But I look at the tree, and it's following the direction that God created for it. It's growing and following the maturity direction for its maturity that God created it for. So it's Muslim. It's Muslim. But also it says the creatures also make their salat. So this is talking about not a tree, but a creature living like a bird or insect or an animal. These are creatures moving about. And Allah is saying to us that they follow the mode of life that God created them for. Allah created the birds to make nests. He created some to do this, some to do that. Whatever He created them for, they are doing that. They obey that discipline that God clocked into their nature. But man has the free will to come out of his, or to be deceived out of his. So he's lost from his prayer. Not only his Muslim pattern, or Muslim disposition, but he's lost also from his prayer, or from the behavior that holds him to the life that God wants him in. I hope you're following all this very, very clearly. I'm trying to make it as clear as possible. Think to understand. But you can't remember, write it down. Writing is supposed to support memory. Thinking is supposed to get understanding eventually. And then keep good account of what you do incorrect, so you eliminate false as you live. That's reading, writing, and arithmetic. Yes. Now, I have seen a tree with my own eyes. In fact, I can take you all to it. It's in my neighborhood. Something caused this tree. See, when trees grow together, sometimes one tree gets in the way of the other tree. And it caused this tree, and plus the earth people movers. They moved some earth from the street side, from the walk side, and caused the earth to tilt like this, and this tree lost its balance. This tree naturally grew a branch. I even took pictures of it in my camera, my little cheap camera. This tree naturally grew one branch very long, heavy, like that. That's it, like eight inches in diameter or more. It grew that long branch, went straight out to check the balance for that tree, so that that weight would pull that tree, try to pull it back up to its erectness, to its correct balance. So the arms reach out to keep balance. They're not selfish. They don't say, let us grow as we please. No, they say, let us grow for the life that support us. Let us grow for the life that support us. If you go out that way, I'm going out the opposite way so that we balance this life. And every other one that comes, he wants to complement the balance. He wants to protect and preserve the balance. And complement the beauty so that the beauty stays. It stays a beautiful picture. If we would be like that, God said he created us like a plant. A parable of our life is a plant. God is telling us, learn from a tree. Learn from a blade of grass. Learn from a bush. Learn from the simplest thing I've made. And learn from the most complicated thing I've made. Learn my message to you. For he said, in the heavens above are ayahs, translated sign, and also on the earth, in the earth below, my signs, ayahs. Then he says, and also in you, study yourself, ayahs, my signs. And then you read the Quran, you say, what ayah was that in, brother? Don't you make connections? If he's giving you something and what you're reading is called ayat, and then he tells you the whole world ayat, what is he telling you? That I have given you a book, but my first book is the universe. Universe. Don't think the big boys don't know what I'm telling you. Universe means one single verse. What they mean by one single verse? A verse that has consistency. A verse that has one aim and one purpose, and that is to hold life together in the proper way. That's the whole universe. To hold life together in the proper way. Even the dead things serve life. Look at the tree. On the outer surface of the body of the tree and the branches, you have bark. Right? Bark. Bark is dead, isn't it? It's dead. There you have dead protecting the life. Under the bark, that's growing. And it will show growth over the years. And plus it will show growth by getting higher. It shows growth. But the bark is just there. Sometimes you can separate it. You can just take it and peel it off like a piece of dead meat or a piece of corn that's grown too big and it's ready to come off on your foot, a corn. You can just take a piece of bark and just some trees, you can take a piece of bark and just break a piece off with your hand. You don't need a tool to do it. It's dead. So what is its purpose? Just to protect the more delicate and more valuable life of the tree, the interior. So there are some people who give their life to religion, and they preach and they do what they can, to help religion. They're doing that just to protect the life. And they don't want much in this world. They're satisfied to just be adhering to the tree. And in the Bible, they're pictured as inferior, worthless, the dumb dogs that cannot speak but only bark. Bark. Yes. But there are people who are not dumb. They're not dogs. But they will sacrifice their chances to have wealth or more life to protect the precious and vital life that they are devoted to. They'll just do it to protect it. They are surrounded to protect it. So the bark of a tree it should get respect, because it's covering for the and protecting the interior, which is the more vital life. That's the more vital life. And isn't the bark charitable? You may can't cut down that big tree, but if you can go and knock off some of that bark, you can have a fire right away. It'll burn quick, easy to get, so ready for sacrifice. Everything that God gives us in the natural world is a sign of His guidance and His love for human beings. And He wants us to be like Him, be charitable like Him, be giving like Him. You brothers in business, you want to make big money. What you want it for? So you can have more wealth in your life, more fine things? That's not enough. Your life in business is short. But if you want it so you can help good causes more, and help good people more, and have a good family that doesn't have to be worried about putting you put out of doors, and children going to college, you know, and they don't have to be worried about whether they're going to go to college or not if they qualify. Some colleges will take you if you don't qualify. If you're not, I mean in terms of money, if you don't have tuition, if you show them that you qualify, you really qualify, you're special. Harvard is one of them. They have money for such children, even if those children are not sent to them by another institution. The child can go on their own. They can go to Harvard. If they show Harvard that they can succeed in education, in college, and they have something special as students, Harvard will take them without any tuition. See, a lot of us don't even know these things. We should know these things. Yes, so I'm getting to the conclusion of this. In concluding this, I want to say to us, some plants do not have leaves. Leaves breathe, and leaves admit sunshine, and a chemical change is made, and chlorophyll is produced. The leaves bring food to the plant, and when they drop upon the earth, they feed the earth. So those leaves have more than what we think they have. And the tree is not only breathing and feeding from above, the roots also need air. They take in air, they take in water, and they feed upon the earth what's valuable for its life that's in the earth. So this tree is feeding from above and feeding from beneath. Above is symbolic of the spiritual needs. It's feeding upon its spiritual life. It's feeding from what God created for it. And its material life, rooted in the earth, is feeding also from what God provided for it. Hmm? And the roots are not just feeding on material things, but the root needs spirit too. It's feeding upon water and breathing too. Air. Can't get oxygen to die. Not just the tree, even small plants. If the roots can't get oxygen, they die. All right. This is a sign from God. So man, with his limited knowledge of these things, early in his preaching days, he gave half-truths. And he got half of the message. So he couldn't really benefit from reading the signs of God like the man that became educated in the sciences or grew in time. Muhammad was a man already scientifically oriented and philosophically oriented before God called him. He was a man that was just engaged nature and natural things. Beautiful man, a wondrous man. So he had the mind to receive what God wanted to give him as the final prophet, the last prophet, seal of the prophet. And in the Quran, God says, and he provides you your food or your needs from the above as well as from below, or from the heavens as well as from the earth. And my conclusion, Jesus Christ is a sign of the connecting back of the whole of reality, the whole truth, so that man is not divided in his life against his own aim and purpose on this planet Earth. So that he's not favoring spirituality and rejecting science and material progress. But he's embracing the two of them and understanding that these things go together. They make up one reality. And Allah say, can't you see, man, that once the skies and the earth, or the world above and the world below, was once one continuous whole, meaning not working against itself and not separated from itself? And God permitted them to be separated? God permitted this, like he permitted Mr. Farrar to do his work. God has a way letting his creation be put in reverse to situate it better, to go forward in a marvelous way. Thank you very much. Peace. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.